Luke chapter 22. I'm going to confess something this morning. I'm nervous as a cat. You say, you've been preaching almost 50 years and you're nervous? I am nervous as a cat. I'm just nervous. If a cat can be nervous, I'm nervous. Have you ever, when you try to serve God, felt the resistance of the devil? The oppression of the devil? Any of y'all ever felt that? When you know you're ready to do something that's going to get on his turf. Now, he won't bother you if you stay away from his turf. But if you get on his turf, he's going to press you. Don't care how spiritual you think you might be, he'll come after you. And I will tell you, I feel that oppression this morning. But I do feel there's folks in this room need to hear what I'm going to preach this morning by the help of God. Luke 22 and verse 31, if you're there, say amen. I'm going to read two verses, give you a thought, preach from that thought, magnify only that thought, and then prayerfully, hopefully, if you're lost, that God will save you. If you're backslidden, that you'll get back with God. If you are in the sifter, that you'll realize what's going on. The Bible says this in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Oh, happy day in verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Our Father, I ask you right now for these next just few minutes that you would empower me, that the message would go out strong, and the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. And I pray for the souls to be saved, and lives to be changed, and people to be delivered from calamity. We pray all this in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. The Savior is on in this passage and this context and setting. He is on the verge of going to Calvary to accomplish God's ultimate goal, and that is the salvation of mankind. He's getting ready to finish what he started. He's going to go to the cross and get nailed there, and he'll proclaim it's finished, and the way of salvation will be made. But in the upper room, he gathers his choice men, Chad. He gathers his choice men at the Last Supper. And he points out to one of those 12. And he said to him, Simon, Simon. By the way, when my mama said, John David, I better look up, because something was getting ready to happen. Most of the time she'd get ready to whip me. Somebody say amen. Simon, Simon, the devil, boy, listen to this, has desired to have you and sift you as wheat. I want all you in this room to know that God has a plan for all of you. It is a precious plan. It is a prepared plan. But I want you to also know the devil has a plan for you also. Jesus said to Simon, he desired to have you. I want all you to know, the devil hates your soul. I want all you to know, he'd be happy to close the doors of this church. I want all of you to know that he would love to destroy you with drugs, alcohol, by any means that he can. He hates you. He desires to have you. He desires to ruin you. He just wants to wreck your life. Did you notice? I don't know if you noticed this. He didn't say he wants your house. He didn't say he wants your money. He didn't say that he wanted your clothes. No. Here's what he did say. I want you. And for the next few minutes, I want to preach on this subject. The devil wants you. Now here's what he wants. He wants all of you. By the way, he wants first of all your mind. Because everything operates through your mind. That's the devil's playground. Somebody help me preach. That's where the devil affects more people than you can ever imagine. Right between your ears. He wants your heart. See, he wants your mind so you don't know anything about God and that you don't acknowledge God in your life. But he wants your heart because he wants to pervert your heart and he doesn't want you to ever know what real love is. Why do you think people go through multiple partners? Why do you think there's so much perversion in this world and in the gender lines and homosexuality? What could get a person to change their identity? I'll tell you what, they get a wicked heart. He wants your hands. He don't want you to accomplish anything good for him. He wants your feet. He wants to make sure he directs your path. We have, you graduates say, I want you to know what he wants. He wants you to go away to college, get brainwashed by some professor, and just blow your life up. But I tell you, I don't care what college you go to, Christian, secular, whatever. I got a God great enough to go to that college with you and help you to endure and go through anything the devil throws at you. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. He wants your eyes. He just wants your eyes. You want to, by the way, I know this is going to shock you about what I'm about to say. Do you know that 58% of Christendom, and that's a low number, use pornography monthly? Some type of pornography monthly. 58%. You said, what happened? The devil got their eyes. And I don't even need to get into what kind of perversions lead after an addiction of pornography. Just about anything can happen. It'll wreck marriages, wreck lives, and pervert you. Good preaching, everything. Amen. He wants your lips. I tell you what he wants. He wants you to do what the devil tried to get Job to do, is curse God. Hey, Job, God took everything from you. Just curse God. But I'm glad that even when the devil tries to do that, you don't have to lose your integrity. Am I preaching? By the way, I love boxing. Anybody here love boxing? There ain't very many real men here, are they? I love it. But when you see two boxers fighting, and we got the referee gets up, you know what the first thing they say? They say, right there's the belt line. Everything up is legal. Everything below is illegal. Keep it clean. But I want y'all to know something. That may work in a boxing arena, but the devil don't play by those rules. The devil hates you and hates me and doesn't play by them rules. I'll tell you what he wants. He wants to wreck mom and dads, get them fighting with each other. He wants to get husbands losing their leadership in the home. He wants to get wives to usurp their authority over the husband. He wants children to rebel and act dysfunctionally. I've been praying about a message on called the dysfunctional home. And ladies and gentlemen, our homes today are dysfunctional. May I preach and just give you three things right here from this passage. What the devil wants. Did I say he wants you? Did I say that? Well, let's follow the text and show you three things he wants. Look with me back to chapter 22 and verse 1. When you get there, say amen. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. First of all, the devil desires every sinner. Let's look at this man, Judas. Let's forget some of the theories and the theology around him. Let's just look at him. He was a religious man. I see he was a respected man. You said, where do you get that at? Would you think they'd give him the money purse if he wasn't respected? But he was not a redeemed man. It is possible to be respected, to be good, to be honorable. And when the preacher gets at your funeral, he'll be able to say lovely things about you because you were respectable and you were somewhat moral. And he'll get up and he'll tell a story about you that'll get people's eyes filled with tears, make them remember all the goodness and almost make all of them think, well, surely that person's on the way to heaven. But I want you to hear me, sir. I want you to hear you. Amen. Morality will keep you out of jail, but only the blood will keep you out of hell. Amen. Yes, you may be a member of the lodge. You may be a member of every club. You may help your community. You may have lived a life of respectability. Yet you will die and go into the flames of hell if that's all you have. Then Judas was a religious man. Can you imagine walking with Jesus 3 years? Could you imagine him hearing this sermon? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can you imagine him hearing these words For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Could you imagine him standing there in front of Jesus when Jesus said, I am the door? I'll tell you what. You can have all the religion in the world and die and go to hell. You can be a member of any kind of church and still die and go to hell. And you know what the devil? Listen to me carefully. You might say, well, the devil just wants to wreck me and cause me to be an alcoholic and all. Really, that's kind of bad advertisement for him. No, he just said, you sit right there in this church seat and everybody in the world think you're just wonderful. Or be out in your community and everybody just thinks you're peachy. Yet when it comes time to stand before God, that God that created you and loved you will cast you himself into the lake of fire which burneth forever and ever. I'll tell you what he wants to do. You're in this church this morning. I'll tell you what. He's starting right now programming you to reject what I'm saying. Right now, he said, hold it. That's a good preacher. I think he's good or I wouldn't be here in the church. But he's programming you to say no in about 15 minutes when I give the invitation. Because that's his job. He's going to say, you're not that bad. He's going to say, listen to all, look at all the things you've accomplished. And all that's going to take you into a burning hell forever and ever. Am I preaching? I tell you what the devil likes to do. He likes to get somebody that looks right and keep them looking good until he deceives them and takes them to hell. Boy, listen to this. I want you to hear this part. It's possible to be close to God and close to going to heaven and go to hell. Let me give you this. I never saw this until just this week. Boy, God's been showing me things in the Bible this week. When Jesus was in the garden, remember? He prayed. And his sweat became as great drops of blood. Right? And Judas came to that garden. Just pardon me. And he kissed him on the cheek. And you know what happened to Judas? He got on his lips and on his face the blood of Jesus. He was that close. He kissed heaven's door and went to hell.
You're right. My goodness, that is good right there.
Oh. He literally kissed the door of heaven, had the blood dripping down his mouth. And yet, he died a respectable, religious man. And he's somewhere right now in his own place suffering. That's what the devil wants to do to you. That's what he wants to do to you. And you, and you, and you. And if you just sit back there and hold on to the pew every Sunday morning, and reject him. You're not going to hell because you're smoking. You don't go to hell because you drink. You don't go to hell because of wine. You don't go to hell because of pornography. You don't go to hell for any of those reasons. You go to hell because you don't believe the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, have mercy. Let me give you. It's really hard for me to get off that. Could you imagine? Kissed him. Had the blood on his lips. Yet he died and went to hell. Secondly, and I'm only going to touch this one because I'm just going to touch it because it's in the text. Look at verse 24. Since we're getting ready for Jubilee, I want all y'all to know when it gets the month of May, it's like opening the doors of the demons of hell. They come into this place and they do everything they can to wreck it. Quiet in here now. Look at verse 24. If you're there, say amen. Secondly, the devil desires and he wants to cause strife. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. By the way, I'm so sick of social media and some preachers that get on there. They're so polished at manipulating everybody to make them look like they're great. I want all y'all to know something. Outside of the grace of God, I'd be in hell right now. And I'm not so great. And if anything good has ever came out of John Smith, it's because of what he's done for me.
Amen.
See, here's what the devil loves to do. He loves to cause division. He likes to pit one against another. A family member against a family member. A church member against a church member. Amen. Most trouble in church never is about the Bible, doctrine. No, it's about some personality. Somebody that wants to be in the know. Somebody that spreads gossip and division. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to use you to do that kind of junk. And I've seen him lately use some people who I thought, well, they'd never let him use them. They'd never lie. They'd never twist the truth. They'd never be proponents of gossip. Don't you say never to anything. Because the devil could have the best of us. Because he wants you. I tell you what, he'd just like to have every church member to hate everybody. Just hate everything. I hate you singing. I hate guests. And I hate it when Preacher Smith preaches about the devil. I just hate it. Always causes strife. Amen. So I don't know much about the business world, and I don't know much about the stock market, but I do know about church. He just likes to deal with jealousy. Hey, I want you to know, it don't matter who's preaching up here this morning. God's called me to be the pastor. That's a good thing for me, and I'm glad about it. But I want you to know, I'm not the only preacher in America. I'm not the only one can preach. I tell you what, it thrills me to hear anybody preaching for preaching God's word. But there's so much stinking, rotten jealousy among God's people and preachers that it's almost sickening. Amen. Am I preaching all right?
Amen.
Here's what we're doing. We're letting the devil destroy us. You wonder why your kids have a negative attitude about church? Well, just Go home and sit at the dinner table unless you listen to how you berate the preacher every week. Used to be in our churches, most of the members wanted to come up and get the signature of the preacher because they respected that position so much. No more. No, they just wished to say something ugly about him. I really don't want him to preach this point. That's just a... this is not my main point, okay? You said, well, it's hitting me. Well, good. It ought to hit you. You always, how blessed is it for the brethren to dwell in unity? It's like the oil that comes down to Aaron's beard. And that's the oil of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never brings strife. Always brings unity. But I'm done with that. I'm not spending no more time on people that cause problems. But I'm going to the last part. Look at verse 31. I'm done. Woo! What did I say at the beginning, Brother Sean? The devil wants you. He wants every sinner. He wants to cause strife. But look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Number three, and I'm done. The devil goes after the strong. Did you hear me? Do you know who gets fought the hardest in this church? Not the weak Christian. No. The prayer warrior. The man of God. The wife is trying to live godly. The devil always wants to take out the strong. I tell you, this will be hold a minute. And I'm not listening to anything, but I want you to get the point. He could take out a member in this church that's not the faith. And it would hurt. But we would say, that's just what's happening. But, oh man. But if I could take out this young, talented man of God, if some way I can get you. You're representing, and I represent Simon Peter. The strong. You're strong. You're a great parent. You're a great influence. But you know what the devil wants? You. Oh, he wants y'all. Don't mistake in that. But if he could have took Peter out. If he had took Peter out. Because the Lord already gave him the keys. If he could just take Peter out. Well, you've wrote songs all over America. You're known as one of the greatest songwriters in America. If I could just take Lois out. I want her. I like to get her kids. I like just destroy her. So when people hear that song, it's still the blood. That's why it's just a fake that done that. That song, The Last Blood. That song, The Judgment, that was just a fake doing that. That's what he wants.
That's right, preacher. You're telling me, man.
He wants to get the most influential church member in this room and take you out.
Amen.
He's after the strong.
Yeah. Yep. Come on, preacher.
I grabbed a hold of me.
Yep.
But I want to give you some good stuff right here. And if it wasn't for this good stuff, we'd all be sunk.
That's right.
And Jesus said to him, I want you to know something, Peter. I have prayed for you.
Amen.
I want you to know, Peter, I got your back. And you may fall, but you ain't going to be utterly cast down. And by the way, Peter, there's a Pentecost coming. By the way, Peter, I'm going to use you to get 3,000 souls saved. By the way, Peter, you are going to be an influence. And I'm taking you through. Hallelujah. Glory! Glory! Whew. You go home with this, but I have prayed for you. I want you to know if you're a sinner, He's interceding for you even now. If you're a church member and tempted to cause trouble, He loves you. Don't do it. And if you're a strong person, hey, you teenagers that's sitting up here, and all of you that's in church this morning, you're the cream of the crop. You two girls that just sung to literally millions of people. The time this service goes through, it's going to be in 78 to 150 countries. And they heard you sing this morning. And you gave God the glory. What the devil wants? He wants you.
Come on, preacher.
And I tell you what really upsets me more than anything, Rich. We're so flippant about it. Bow your head with me. Unsaved man, Judas literally had the blood of Jesus on his lips and on his face. And he kissed heaven's door and went to hell. Those that get baptized, go ahead now if you would. Bow your head with me. If you're here and you say, Preacher Smith, I'm saved, but the devil has been after me. And he ain't letting up on me. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Christians all over the house. Thank you. Maybe you don't want to come and pray. I wonder how many in this room that say, Preacher, I'm saved, but I'm not living the way a Christian ought to live because I've let the devil have some of me. And I'm saved, but I know I'm out of fellowship. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I'm saved, but I'm out of fellowship. Come on, I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Come on, if you know if you're out of fellowship or in. How many right now say, Preacher, I'm lost. And I believe the gospel. I believe the death, burial, and resurrection. I believe the way that you have to get to heaven is through faith. I just haven't done it. I've waited years. And I'm still putting it off. And it's sad, but the devil has you. Don't let him. How many unsaved people right here don't desire to go to hell, but you really, before you die, you'd like to go to heaven? Raise your hand. If you're unsaved, sip on the pie. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Raise them high. Come on. I told you the devil's going to kick in right now and try to get you not to want to come and get saved. Didn't I tell you all that? Stand with me. I pray right now that you'd come. Christian, will you come and renew your covenant? Unsaved, would you come and get saved? And let's take the Bible and show you. It's your day. But the devil wants you to not do it. Our Father, touch this invitation. And we'll praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.